Welcome to Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD. Pete McLeod and Ed Lilly.
Happy to be here, and I love our guest as someone that we know, and anybody who's familiar with sports in Frederick County and surrounding area knows Greg Swiatek.
Is that a true statement?
I think it is, yeah.
Greg Swiatek has somehow he found time between all the playoff games in the area. The spring, it's the height of the spring playoff season, and how he found time to come in here, I don't know.
Most of them.
Between the raindrops, too. I mean, a lot of coaches said this has been the worst spring on record in terms of weather.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
we had the cold weather until just a couple of weeks ago, and it's also been rainy, too. So between the cold and the rain, it's been one of the worst weather springs that we've had in recent times, and that certainly I can remember.
There's a lot going on, a lot of interesting spring sports, which we'll get to, high school sports, incredible records. We want to remind you we're brought to you by Premier Dental Arts and by Dr. Guy Cappuccino in Mount Airy. And we're happy you're here with us. It'll be an interesting half hour, I'll tell you.
We hope.
There's nobody that knows more about high school sports in Frederick County than Greg Swiatek.
And talk to. And we've spent a lot of time in the booth talking with Greg over the years. And a lot of the best conversations are after the mics are off. Yeah. So
we'll pretend the mics are off.
Yeah.
But I got to ask it.
No swearing, guys.
I gave you a hint, Greg. When are they going to build a indoor and outdoor track facility to service the Frederick County, the athletes and just all kinds of track and field athletes that could use such a facility, and they have to traipse up to Hagerstown now or down to the D.C. area?
For the indoor season, they do. It would be nice to have an indoor track.
Indoor probably more than outdoor.
I guess they'll build it as soon as they find a couple pennies laying around that they could spend on it. So I think money is maybe the issue. I'm sure they could find a location but I'm sure the fundraising is the big obstacle. So you would think they could get one. I mean, just given how big this area is becoming and how it's becoming a popular place to live, you would think they'd be able to maybe find someone that could lend them the money to at least front the down payment. But it's a good question. I don't have a good answer for you.
Because, I mean, we interview athletes, winter track and field, and they talk about practicing dodging cars in the school parking lot where they have their workouts.
Out in the snow. And the only indoor facility is Hagerstown, and it's obviously booked because Hagerstown Community College uses their gym and their facility for events, and it's tough to get time to practice there. Plus the distance too becomes an obstacle because you have to put kids on a bus and it's a lengthy bus ride. So it'd be great to have. There's no doubt about that. The track coaches in the county would love it. The athletes would love it too.
But
I'm sure until a sponsor is found, it might not happen.
But there's no movement that
that I've heard of.
I haven't heard anything either. It's a strange. The other breaking story, well, not really breaking story, but the new coach of the men's basketball program at Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, he was introduced today at a press conference. A real nice guy. He comes from the College of Southern Vermont. He's a former Mountain assistant. He coached at the Mount under Milan Brown when Milan Brown was the head coach there. He came aboard for the 2007-2008 season, and that season was the season that the Mount won the Northeast Conference Tournament Championship and advanced to the NCAA tournament, and then they beat Coppin State in what was then the singular play-in game out in Dayton, Ohio. So Milan Brown jokingly referred to Dan Engelstad, the new Mount coach, as the lucky charm because he came aboard and they won an NCAA tournament game. But he's he's a young guy. He's 33 years old, a new father. He has a 10-month-old daughter. He's very well thought of, energetic guy, strong work ethic. So he loves the Mount community. He grew up in Bethesda, so not that far away. And he grew up going to basketball camp at Mount St. Mary's, Morgan Wooten's basketball camp at Mount St. Mary's. So he's very familiar with the program. He just attended the wedding of Jamie and Christian on Saturday. The man he's replacing, so it's a really tight knit community. He's a part of it, and it's going to be a challenge for him because some of the kids that were on the team last year have left the program, and others are sort of wavering in their commitment because they didn't sign up to play basketball for Dan Engelstad. They signed up to play for Jamie and Christian.
And
anytime you have these coaching changes in college, it's a struggle to keep the kids. So that's going to be the big challenge right now to keep the roster together. It's late in the recruiting process, so any holes he has to fill on the roster, it's going to be tough to fill them because most schools have already filled recruiting slots for the year. So we'll see. But it seems like a real nice guy, and look forward to seeing what he could do.
All right. Well, it's Ed, have you got any general question to ask?
I think it's great that you've got that quality basketball in the county, and Mount St. Mary's has been doing pretty well. It's a great facility up there, too.
Right, Knott Arena, yeah, and the county uses it. They just had the CMC Baseball Championship at the baseball field at Straw Family Stadium.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Up at Mount St. Mary's. And I heard rumblings that they might move the softball championship up there, too, next year. So we'll see. That's not official yet, but I heard rumblings of that. So the county uses the mount quite a bit for some of their events, including graduation, which is coming up.
And, of course, we've got the sports starting, playoffs starting. It seemed like with all the rain and cold weather, it was an abbreviated season, but I think most of them got their full or close to their full schedule in.
And yeah, some of the baseball teams and softball teams were playing four games a week. So some pretty tired arms.
I would think so.
After a while. So.
Yeah. Well, let's take baseball first I'm looking at the Frederick News Post rankings, and you'd look at Urbana, Walkersville, Ligonier, Thomas Johnson, four top teams, but I think there's others that are just bubbling beneath that surface there.
Yeah, Urbana is clearly the team to beat. They have one of the best players in Trey Lipscomb, who's going to Tennessee. He's their shortstop, a very good pitcher for him. He does it all. He hits for him. And Urbana, of course, just beat Boonesboro for the Central Maryland Conference championship this week, so they're probably the team to beat. But right behind them has been Walkersville with Jacob Wetzel, our multi-sport.
All those football players that play baseball too.
Our multi-sport superstar Christian Policelli is on the baseball team too. So all these Walkersville football stars are multi-sport athletes. And you never know in baseball. All it takes is one good pitching performance. Yeah. Oakdale's had their moments this season. TJ, you can't be counted out. You never know in baseball because it's a funny game. It's most of the time you don't hit. It's a game of failure. A 300 average, yeah. 3 out of 10 hits is considered three hits and 10 times to the plate. Excuse me, is considered a good average. So
yeah,
so you just never know.
Yeah, and I would almost think TJ was kind of a dark horse. To slip into that.
They always play their best ball around this time of year.
They've
had really poor regular seasons, but then they've advanced to the state semifinals. I mean, they tend, under Billy Gross, their coach, they really tend to start playing well around this time of year.
And before we leave baseball, you have to comment on this super, super person down at place with St. John's, A.J. Javitt. He has statistics that will knock your socks off. It's incredible.
I've never seen him pitch. I can't say I've ever seen him pitch. Unfortunately, I'd love to see him pitch sometime soon. But he's a tremendous pitcher, and he does it all for the Vikings. So
his ERA is below, it's like 0.93, I think I said it.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he's unheralded because of where he plays. The private schools don't get a ton of attention. Even from us, but he's probably the best baseball player in the county. Well, he's right there with Trey Lipscomb and Jacob Wetzel as being the best baseball players in this county. So.
Okay, and we had Trey Lipscomb on as our Athlete of the Month
really
a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he's very, very impressive. So Urbana looks like the team to beat, but of course Brunswick is the baseball capital. They were a little down this year,
right.
Around 500.
And before we leave Urbana, they're in 4A now, so they won't. They're the only Frederick County school in 4A, so
okay.
They won't see any of the Frederick County teams in 4A. So they'll face some bigger schools, which could be a good thing. It might be a tougher thing for them, but they will be separate from Frederick County the rest of the way since they're a 4A school. And Brunswick, I think Catoctin might have dropped down to 1A, so they'll have Catoctin. 1A and 2A, the smaller classifications are very competitive.
Yes, yeah, so Catoctin had a good year.
In baseball, Catoctin always plays well, and they typically play well in the playoffs, too, under their great coach, Mike Franklin. So, Brunswick started playing. They got off to a slow start, but then they started playing better and better, and you can't count them out.
And the softball is the people that play softball that we interview, and Ed can back me up here, they just are so into that sport. Softball, it's a great sport. I don't think enough people recognize how good it is and how interesting it is.
And you just had a great softball game the other night with the CMC championship game between Ligonier and Catoctin, two of our traditional softball powers. Catoctin had a four-run lead in the game. Ligonier stormed back to go ahead 5-4 in the sixth inning. Catoctin rallied to tie it and then pulled it out in extra innings. A remarkable performance in relief by their pitcher, Taylor Beckley. And she also added an insurance run in the eighth inning there to help get them over the top. And that's the second year in a row they've beaten Ligonier. A definite county power and annual state contender for the CMC title.
And the top four teams, just to at least this is going into the playoffs, of course, Linganore, Catoctin, Urbana, and Walkersville. Familiar names there.
All names you tend to see go deep in the playoffs.
And as far as individual stars in softball, there's some really incredible players. This Jordan, is it pronounced Specht for Linganore?
Specht, yes.
What an average. She's sitting at 673.
Ted Williams would be jealous of that.
Do you believe that? Wow. That's really incredible. And there was a young lady from Canty Limbar, I think, from St. John's, who's up there at in the 690 area, too. So, I mean, they're just these figures. But what gets me always is the interest that the young women we talk to seem to have for the sport.
If you go to a game, it's like a musical soundtrack to the game because the players are always singing or chirping or chanting in the dugout. So a softball game is typically a pretty noisy event if you attend a game.
Now, the attendance has been pretty good at those games. I think
they've braved the cold this season and dodged the rain like the rest of us. And they're always well attended.
All right, so we'll slip over to girls lacrosse because I have to ask you about this young lady for Oakdale, Alyssa Wright, who somehow, and this is not even a final statistic yet, I think she's had some games since then, but 82 points, including 56 goals?
Yeah, she's going to Oregon, and she's only a junior, too, so she's coming back next year. So she's going to the University of Oregon. She's one of a handful of Division I players that Oakdale has. And some of them aren't even seniors yet. So Oakdale is definitely the team to beat on the girls' side. They're coming down to 2A this year, and that keeps them in the same classification as Glenelg. We should point out that the lacrosse playoffs have changed a little bit. They're awarding state titles by classification, and not the three class. I mean, it's now four classifications instead of three. They used to combine like 1A, 2A.
Oh, that's
2A,
right. Yeah.
But now it's going to be four state champs, four classifications. And unfortunately for the 2A schools, Glenelg is a 2A school for girls lacrosse, and they're annually one of the best teams, not only in the state, but in the country. So they'll definitely be the team to beat.
Now you look at Mackenzie Schnurr for Brunswick, 77 points she has scored, including 35 goals, 42 assists. And you had mentioned Isabella Ewine.
A freshman from Middletown.
Who
has 50 assists, 50-plus assists. So, but in addition to being able to score goals, she often sets them up. So,
wow, these young athletes, they just keep producing them. And we could go on and on. If you look at the Frederick News Post on Thursdays, they have these stats, and sometimes they'll just blow your mind, really.
Yeah, they really do.
So you think Oakdale would be the, for the girls, this is girls we're talking about now, Oakdale would be the power here. Middletown is at second.
They're a 2A school, too, so they're likely to meet before the state semifinals. So that could be a matchup. They played earlier in the season. Middletown was hanging with them in the first half, and then they lost one of their best players to injury. Megan Cleverly went down, and that may have changed the scope of that game slightly. Oakdale really got their wind in the second half and started pulling away from Middletown. I think the final score was something like 13-3 or 13-4. So Oakdale's the team to beat, but Middletown has been the second best team. And then you have a group of teams like Tuscarora and Walkersville and Frederick. And
Frederick, they're
sort of in the same class.
Yeah, they're trying to break through,
right? And they're within like a goal of each other when they play typically. So,
well, if you want to see some good competition, get out to some of these playoff games. These kids, of course, they are so intense, and they leave nothing out on the field. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD. Pete McLeod, Ed Lully with Greg Swatek, sports writer for the Frederick News Post, who covers all these high school activity. In addition, he covers the Frederick Keys baseball team. Also, we're just, as we're starting the spring playoffs, we're looking at some of these powers in the area. We're brought to you by Premier Dental Arts and Dr. Guy Cappuccino, who's located to the east of
Mount Airy.
Mount Airy, that's right. Frederick. Well, we're to boys lacrosse now, and according to the Frederick News Post in their rankings, they've got, there's Oakdale again. Oakdale number one, Linganore number two, and Urbana number three, usual suspects.
Well, Linganore is our only state champion for lacrosse, period. The Linganore boys, they've done it twice. And they were one of the teams to beat this year, and when they played Oakdale, In the regular season, Oakdale came out on top in that game. Oakdale knocked them off. It's the first time it's ever happened. They recently played again this past weekend at Hood College in the CMC Championship game, and Ligonier turned the tables on them. So the teams are 1-1 this year. They'll be in separate classifications, so they won't meet again in the playoffs. But they played a couple of great games this season. The thing, Ligonier is a high scoring team with Jordan Sawyer, who's one of the leading scorers in the county.
Oh, I see,
and
yeah.
They have a lot of offensive firepower.
78 points.
Yeah, Oakdale, on the other hand, they win a lot of low-scoring games. I mean, they play great defense, and they'll win a lacrosse game 7-4 or 6-5 or something like that, which is remarkably low-scoring for high school lacrosse, really any sort of lacrosse, because lacrosse, you typically get upwards of 10 or 12 goals a game for the winning team. So Oakdale is very comfortable winning defensive battles. Ligonier relies a little more on their offense, but they're both great teams and both have a chance to make runs in the playoffs.
Well, and a lot of ex-football players play for the lacrosse teams of these schools too.
Sure, right. Yep.
it's a growing sport. I think it might be one of the fastest growing sports, at least in this part of the country.
Sure. Well, it's always been very popular in this part of the country, but you see lacrosse getting bigger elsewhere too, and more and more kids are playing it now.
All right. Boys lacrosse, and we go from that. Let's look at track and field, and that is, of course, you got the girls over there. Jada, I want to ask Greg here about Jada. Is it Jada Smith? Jada Smith, yeah,
yep.
Jada Smith from Frederick. She is such an all-around athlete. She wins, it seems like she wins the 100-meter and 200-meter dashes all the time, but I see her now in the long jump, too. And
she's versatile. She's arguably the best athlete in the county, or certainly one of them. She ran a remarkable time in the 55-meter dash at the state indoor meet. She'd won that 3 years in a row, and she ran like the sixth fastest time that's been run at the state indoor meet this year. I think it was just a shade over 7 seconds for over 55 meters. So, I mean, that tells you how fast she's moving. So, and she'll be a contender again in the 100 and 200-meter dashes at the state meet. And she often goes to these national meets and competes and finishes very well.
What is her background now? Is she from Frederick originally?
I think so. I'm not exactly sure, yeah. But I believe she grew up in this area. Yes,
because we've had her on. She was our athlete of the month. I think last year, and very like they all are, very mature young lady.
It's amazing how nice they are, and they usually have their parents usually come with them, and their parents are usually extraordinary people.
The
thing I think that's gotten me most this year about our athletes have been the degree to which they get along with their teammates and how much they love what they're doing. And I mean, it's just, to me, this year has been exceptional in that. And the enthusiasm they have, I think, is what you were talking about before, softball in particular. You know, softball is kind of a laid-back game, you know, from my generation. So,
yeah.
Laid-back, no, with these girls.
No. I wanted to ask you, before we leave the girls' track, Urbana always seems to go up with a long-distance runner who's outstanding, and here's this Ella Outerset. She wins in the county, she wins the 800-meter and the 1,600-meter.
Right, yeah.
Good performance.
And she's an underclassman, too, so she'll be around for a few more years. The Urbana and Tuscarora girls 1,600 relay, their 4x4 relay team, just won heats at the Penn Relays, which is a remarkable accomplishment. So they went up there. I think they met last night head-to-head because the FCPS had their annual county championship meet last night, and it was won by the Urbana girls. And the deciding race was the 4x4, the 1600. So that put them over the top last night.
Which were the two schools?
That put them over the top with Frederick. Tuscarora is the team that won a heat at the Penn Relays in the 4x4, and they have an excellent relay team. But Urbana winning the 4x4 last night, at the county championships, or we should say Wednesday night at the county championships, that put them over the top.
Wow. Any other athletes we should know about on the girls' side of track and field?
Rosie Sichmanek, the Brunswick high jumper.
Oh, yes. I see that, yeah.
And there's too many to name, really.
Megan Gabby of Oakdale,
right.
The pole vault.
I don't want to leave any names out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, how about boys now? Is there a boy we should be looking at as the state championships loom here in Maryland?
Well, I mean, Michael Belmaggio has won a state title before of Ligonier in the distance races.
Yep.
Nathan Davis of Urbana is a good distance runner.
Is George Stoltz of Oakdale?
George Stoltz is one of he's a very versatile athlete. He
triple
usually finishes well, and he's won a state title in the pole vault a couple of times. So yeah, there's always a handful of boys that will contend for state titles in track too. And Frederick County often crowns a state team champion in the track championships, or they have in recent years. They have a good long run of crowning a state team champion.
And then we move to a sport that often gets overlooked is tennis, boys and girls tennis. And what is the state of that in Frederick County?
Well, we have the county championships were just held yesterday at Baker Park. We're recording this before they happen, so we don't know the results of that. But Urbana has been the best team for the boys and girls for a very long time. Now the girls have won upwards of like 70 straight matches.
Oh, gee. They're still going. I was wondering if that streak was still going.
And the boys have a long streak going, too. And their coach doesn't know exactly what it is, but I think it's been 4 years since they've lost a match. So their streak's probably in the 40s at least.
Gee.
So Urbana is the benchmark program. But Middletown's made some nice strides in tennis this year, and they were clearly the number two team for both the boys and girls under their coach, Patrick Barber. They have some really nice young and up-and-coming players. So we'll see. Kevin Lee has been the best singles player on the boys' side for Urbana in the county. And on the girls' side, you have Julie Wallace.
Wallace.
And also Alexa Orlando of Middletown have been the best girls' singles players. I think they split a pair of matches this season. So tennis is usually very competitive in the county too.
And Julie Wallace, the reason I know her, she's a good basketball player too.
Yep.
For Walkersville.
And she was the county and regional tennis champion last year, so she's looking to repeat her titles.
Wow. Okay. And got to ask you, since you cover the Frederick Keys for the Frederick News Post, what are we looking at there? New manager this year, they've been off to kind of a rocky
start. Ryan Meyer, he's been here before.
His second
go-around with the Keys. Rocky start, but they started to play better in the last week. They had won, I believe their streak got up to four in a row before it was snapped, but I think they had won four or five in a row at least, and the last week has been really good for them, but they got off to a really bad start where they couldn't win a road game.
Yeah.
And they lost like 11 of 12 or something like that. So they were really struggling, like the Orioles have been struggling for most of the season. But in this last week, they've started to turn it around. Brandon Klein, a Thomas Johnson graduate,
yeah,
has had a remarkable season in relief for them so far.
What are the chances of him being promoted?
Good, I'd say. And he's likely to be promoted very soon because he's really, I think, only allowed one run in all of his appearances.
Wow.
That he's made this season. So
that's great.
So he's having a great season, and he's finally healthy. He's back from his injury, and I would expect him to get promoted sometime before the end of the month. Really,
I have to admire him because he to lose 2 years, because of injury, and then
three,
and then to come back with the attitude. Because I interviewed him early this season, and the attitude that guy has is amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've always been most impressed about him. It's always forward thinking.
Yes,
he doesn't let negative events affect him very much, and they say just control what you can control, and he does that better than just about anyone I've ever met before.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, he's already said he learned a lot from his wife. He's married, he's a wife,
with a child too.
He said that helped ground him and get him through.
But he was already pretty grounded before that. It's not like he was out of control and that reined him back in, and he's always had a good head on his shoulders.
Well, we'll root for him. I will definitely root for him. Okay, the time goes so fast.
And it's a shame, too. It is. I wonder if you got a second.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you about Rick Leonard.
Yeah, he just got drafted. He just I think, got off the plane in New Orleans. I think he was heading down this week. The newest draftee, or one of the newest draftees of the New Orleans Saints. An amazing football player at Middletown High School. He was the state defensive player of the year in 2013 when Middletown won their third state championship in a row. And he got the call from the Saints in the fourth round, which was much higher than he even expected to be picked.
The position, though, he's playing is an offensive lineman, right?
Right. And those are valuable guys.
Yep.
I mean, it's easier to get drafted as an offensive lineman than as, say, a wide receiver or someone like that. So maybe he had a little bit of a faster road to the NFL because of the position he played.
Well, we're delighted to see it. That's three Frederick County players in the NFL.
Rob Havenstein of Ligonier is the starting right tackle for the for the St. Louis Rams. Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
And Nate Harrison is a defensive back for the Indianapolis Colts, and he's a TJ graduate too. So
thanks for coming, Greg.
Well, thank you for coming and filling us in. We'll see you on the football trail, of course.
That's not too far away, believe it or not.
It's not.
A couple months away. So.
But, a couple weeks before we start interviewing coaches.
Greg Swatek, you can read him every day practically in the Frederick News Post, keeping up on high school and local sports in the Frederick area. Once again, thanks a lot, Greg, for coming in. And I want to thank our sponsors, Premier Dental Arts and Dr. Guy Cappuccino over there in Mount Airy. And for Ed Lulley, I'm Pete McLeod. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week on Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD.